Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Assemblyman John McDonald. And John McDonald is a pharmacist. And in light of Prince's death, that's possibly due to prescription drugs, I would like to talk to the Assemblyman about, you know, the proliferation of prescription drugs in our society. So, Assemblyman, how bad is it?
Well, Cynthia, first of all, good afternoon. It's good to be with you. And the proliferation of opioid medications is significant in today's society. And it's interesting. As you know, Cynthia, I've been a pharmacist now for 33 years. I remember 20, 25 years ago testifying because patients were living lives in excruciating pain and doctors were afraid to prescribe any type of pain medication. And society was taking a very sincere view at this. However, over the last decade or two, many different factors have happened. One, and these are good things, by the way, some of these good things, but the outcome is not good. More people have access to health insurance. So therefore, the affordability of medications is no longer an issue. But secondly, some prescribers have gotten in the routine or habit of prescribing medications to keep their patients satisfied. And one of the overarching reasons is because our healthcare system is measured on patient satisfaction. And that sounds terrible to say that, and it sounds like the dog is wagging the tail, but it is potentially part of the problem in that aspect. And there's another aspect that really is bothersome to me, and it's basically a cavalier attitude towards medications. Because access, because they're advertised more, because they're more readily available, people share medications, and they share them regularly. And it's downright bothersome to me because each medication is destined for each individual and has its impacts separately. And it's been very unfortunate to see what has transpired, but we are trying to react to it and react to it as quickly as possible.
Now, the singer-songwriter Prince died a couple of weeks ago, and although it hasn't been determined, he said that possibly there was an overdose of Percocet, and there was a physician with him or on the plane or something. How prevalent is overdoses for people who take prescription drugs?
Unfortunately, overdoses are becoming more and more common. I can't give you a statistic of how many, you know, one out of every 12 people. I can't give you something like that. But what I can tell you very clearly is that we're seeing more and more. And a lot of it is with prescription drugs, but more of it is with heroin, which is the difference between heroin and oxycodone are a couple different components. But one of the bigger issues is you take an oxycodone 10-milligram tablet from a manufacturer, you're going to get 10 milligrams of oxycodone. Heroin is made by drug dealers who do not have good manufacturing practices, who do not have any interest in your overall health, and are not really focused on potency or consistency. And the problem, therefore, is you have a variability of the type of grade of heroin that you receive. And then to top it off, we have some now who are actually adding fentanyl, which is a very, very potent pain medication, to people's regimens. And therefore, we have a very difficult position right now in society. We have a lot of people trying drugs, getting addicted to them, and really losing sense of their reality.
Okay, when somebody who has some kind of an ailment, chronic ailment, whatever, and they start taking prescription drugs, and they become hooked on those drugs. At that point, do they go from one doctor to the other? How does that work? I mean, if somebody's addicted, how do they function and how do they get their drugs?
That's a difficult question because what happens is they go through a variety of different things. They'll run to the emergency room. They'll run to every doctor with every story known to mankind, most of which are not credible. They will also do what is really, I think, totally ludicrous, is that they will steal medications from family members, from friends, from patients they may be taking care of. It's absolutely horrific what happens. And, the bottom line is they have an addiction, they have a habit to feed, and they're going to feed it one way or the other, by hook or by crook.
Now, how long has this been a problem? And do you see this problem increasing?
The problem, I think a couple different components. The problem really reached its peak back in 2011, 2012. But it's obviously, we hear stories of particularly our youth or young women who are dying daily. And therefore, I think the public awareness is much greater. But I can tell you that, there's some good things happening. New York State put in a program called iStop about 2 or 3 years ago, and what we're seeing is doctors are now screening their patients to see if they've gotten these medications filled at other pharmacies or other doctors. So we're getting the doctor hopping a little bit better under control, and I think that's a good thing. Still, at the same token, people, if they're wanting to get the medications, they're going to get the medications one way or the other.
Now, you mentioned the leap from prescription drugs to heroin. Is that becoming more prevalent?
It is, because as we have taken a much more stringent approach with allowing people to get prescription, legally prescribed opioids, if they have a addiction and are not able to seek treatment or recognize any treatment, what do? They move to the streets. And, a startling fact that you might be interested in, 80% of every heroin addict started with short-acting opioids. They started with oxycodone, or they started with hydrocodone. And that's just downright frightening, if you ask me.
Now, I had just told you that I have to go for shoulder surgery within the next few months. So if a person has surgery or if they have a condition where they need pain medication for the short term, on the average, a doctor will prescribe what dosage to the patient? How long of a time do they prescribe,
That's the part that's interesting. Yeah, that's the part that's interesting. We have a lot of weird things going on. I will say the emergency rooms are getting much better. Usually the weekend warriors or those weekend flyers, they're not prescribing as much. They're prescribing maybe a quantity of 12 or 16 pills. But it's not uncommon to hear the average story of an individual going to the dentist or having surgery and getting a bottle of 100 hydrocodone, which is totally unnecessary. Matter of fact, Cynthia, I've actually a bill with Senator Hannon that we are amending that we are going to require for the first time a patient ever takes a short-acting opioid, a hydrocodone or an oxycodone, for example, the doctor would check the prescription monitoring program, the PMP as we call it, which is part of iStop, and if the patient, say it's Cynthia, has never gotten a hydrocodone before or oxycodone, the doctor would be limited by the law to prescribe no more than a 5-day supply of the medication. Five days, why do we pick 5 days? Well, for a couple of reasons. One is it allows for that person who gets injured on a Thursday or Friday to get through the weekend comfortably if they truly need the pain medication until they get to the orthopedist or back to their doctor. And the same token, we want to make sure that we're not wasting medication. We want to make sure that they truly need it. And we want to make sure that especially in the early phases of pain, talking to the doctor. One of the other things I want to mention before I forget it, it's top of mind, is, and this is going to sound kind of funny coming from a pharmacist, but whether it's acute pain, which actually there is legitimacy for use of acute pain for oxycodone, hydrocodone, but for chronic pain, there is other options. And quite frankly, pain medications should not always be the first option. It could be an anti-inflammatory, which is not a narcotic and not addictive, like ibuprofen or naproxen. It could be physical therapy. It could be Tai Chi. It could be yoga. Those are different types of, you know, physical therapy. Physical therapy plays a very large role. You know, I've had the physical therapist tell me quite honestly, increase the coverage options with physical therapy because we're part of your solution to the heroin crisis and the oxycodone crisis.
Okay.
So it's not always medication.
I'm going to give you two scenarios. A heroin push is somebody who's selling heroin on the street and is caught doing it, will go through the criminal justice system. A doctor who prescribes a 3-month supply of oxys or hydrocodone and the person gets addicted to them, what happens? Is that doctor liable for making that person a drug addict?
Well, that's a very difficult, broad-based question to give you a direct answer to. A lot of factors in investigation and review has to be included in that. If a doctor is willingly continuing to prescribe opioids for illegal use, selling it on the streets, that prescriber, whether it's a doctor or nurse practitioner or physician's assistant, is going to be definitely held and can one lose their license, which is obviously not a good thing, and can be held criminally too as well. That applies for doctors. It applies for pharmacists, to be honest with you. On the other hand, if a doctor has a pain management agreement or contract with a patient on certain expectations, and this is what's becoming more the norm, and prescribes 3 months with the understanding that the patient has to monitor the program, they may not be subject to any criminal nature because, quite frankly, they're trying to also address the pain. You've got to remember where this all started. It was 30 years ago, 25 years ago. People were living their lives day in and day out in excruciating pain. And there was a consensus among all. In the law enforcement, there was a consensus in the medical community that there really needed to be a more appropriate approach to pain management. Pain management is a good thing. It just has to be very much responded to and adhered to. And I think that's the problem, is that unfortunately, for the multitude of reasons I mentioned earlier in the show, we might have gotten away from that a little bit.
So over the years as a pharmacist, when you're prescribing prescriptions, you have, correct me if I'm wrong, you've seen an increase in the amount of opiates that are being prescribed?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We've seen more and more people use it. And once again, remember one of the things I said, health plans and doctors are measured based on rules and regulations of the government on patient satisfaction. And I can tell you that some prescribers want to make sure their patients are satisfied. And same token, once people become addicted, they start running around to different physicians. Now, once again, we're making steps here, steps there, steps everywhere to try to eliminate that. But it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination.
So I had recently heard Senator Gillibrand, you know, discuss this problem. And it's being addressed on the federal level. And it's also being addressed on the state level. How is it being addressed on the federal level, and how is it being addressed on the state level?
So at the federal level, what Senator Gillibrand is rightly pushing for is for the Center for Disease Control, otherwise known as the CDC, to embark on a 2-year study to look at the appropriate use of short-acting opioids. Interesting enough, the CDC just came out with recommendations and guidelines on the chronic use of those same products, but not short-term use. So they're looking to kick into a study. Makes sense. At the state level, we're not waiting for the study because we know at some point the federal government will do it, and that will eventually be the law of the land. But New York State, as always, has been a leader in getting processes in place. For example, hydrocodone, New York State made Schedule 3 years before the federal government got around to it because the crisis was real. Both myself and Senator Hannon are co-sponsoring a bill that we are hopeful will be passed before the end of session that will require a doctor, when prescribing a short-acting opioid for acute pain, to verify that the patient has or has not taken it before, and if they have not taken it before, to limit them to prescribing and dispensing no more than a 5-day supply. There are also parts of the federal law that go ahead.
Shouldn't a 5-day supply for anybody be adequate?
Well, it depends on the condition, and you know that's a personal health reason. And the other thing, Cynthia, that people forget is that everybody has different levels of tolerance for pain.
Right.
You know, you might tolerate more than I can.
Okay. Now, as a pharmacist, answer me this question, and I think it's pretty important. Given the fact that you have seen over the years a proliferation of, you know, prescriptions being written, at the same time, there has been very little push for legalizing marijuana. Do you think that's fair, or would you like to see marijuana used also as a way to alleviate pain?
So, from my perspective, legalization of marijuana will cause an increased proliferation of drug use and drug abuse. That's a fact, plain and simple. Yes, we've seen increasing number of prescriptions for opioids, and that's because of, one, standards have changed, but I can't stress enough to you that more people have access to the healthcare system today than ever before. And when you have more people accessing the healthcare system, before people would probably stay home and just suffer in pain if they had an issue. And many people would, believe it or not. More people now can afford to get their prescriptions. A lot of people get them for nothing. They're, you know, when you have 35-40% of the state of New York on Medicaid, they're not paying anything for prescription drugs. Access is not an issue. So, you know, we need to be mindful of that. But I can tell you right now, you know, as much as I understand the societal issue of young men and young women being arrested for possession of marijuana, and I understand that component, the reality is to legalize marijuana, I do not think, is only going to make the situation much worse, not any better. I do believe that we need to take a more we need to be mindful of the issue of young men and young women being arrested and getting records. That can be addressed in a different venue. But we have added more people to the healthcare system, and they have more access, and that's important. And it's going to drive utilization. I think the measures we've taken the last 3 or 4 years are playing a role in slowing this down, but now it's also shifted the action and the argument to the streets with heroin.
That's interesting. So your particular bill, are you hopeful it will pass?
Yes.
Do you have a sponsor in this? You have a sponsor in the Senate.
We have the health sponsor, Senator Kemp Hannon from Long Island.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see if your bill does pass. So you have been listening to Assemblyman John McDonald and John has been talking about prescription opiates. Am I pronouncing that correctly, opiates?
Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
Okay. So if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or if you have a comment or a criticism about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Assemblyman McDonald, thank you so much for taking this time on this beautiful Saturday to speak about this issue. Have a great day, and everybody enjoy your day. Thank you. Bye.
Enjoy.